Hello and welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I am Marcus Hippi. All cities are various, the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we are off to Philadelphia, Reading Terminal, an indoor farmers market housed beneath an old train shed is considered more than just sprawling food haven, but one of those rare and enduring places that define Philadelphia. Our guide today is Rick Nichols, the ex-food columnist at the Philadelphia Inquirer and a champion of the market. He showed Monocle's Naomi Joseph around.
The Reading Terminal kind of joined the scene in the late 1800s. And before that, of course, there was street vending, street carts of oystermen. There were curbside markets, which there's one remaining, the Italian Market in South Philadelphia, where Rocky famously ran through the streets and his buddy actually worked out on sides of beef. And then there were the Shambles on what was formerly known as High Street, which of course is based on a more European English concept. Now it's called Market Street because the outdoor sheds lined the streets up to about 3rd Street. In the mid-1800s, the switch from curbside to shed open air markets where, you know, they sold bear and possum and seafood and fruit and so forth. Then there was a mania, actually, in the mid-1800s where these food palaces started getting built, you know, with grand architecture and carved terracotta and so forth. And there was a whole phase there, and it was really not too long after that that the Reading Terminal Market was founded from an open-air market that was threatened by the new railroad coming through. And they were going to tear down the market, but the butchers and farmers and so forth protested. But the Reading Railroad needed the land. And I think it was one of those beautiful compromises where they said, wait a minute, two warring peoples can live on the same plot of land. They just stacked them. So now, you know, it's what, a little over 100 years old. And it went through a decline when a lot of the folks in the center of cities decamped to the suburban areas. Supermarkets came into vogue, following corner stores, which also robbed some of the vitality from this place. I actually read a piece that said from, I guess, about the 1920s or 30s, and it said, my God, the Reading Terminal is doomed. People have the telephone now, and they can call and get their orders. And between the telephone and this newfangled thing, the corner store, it spells doom for the market. It sounds a lot like what's been going on with online ordering. The market did, in fact, decline. By the 60s or so, the 1960s, 70s, part of the 80s, the place was really, talk about a shambles. It really, the roofs were leaking. People had tarps up over their stands to catch the rainwater. And it looked like it was kind of doomed, you know, as progress marched on. I have this theory that, you know, you don't know what you've got until it's almost gone. And as it tottered and as it faltered, a new wave of customers and a new consciousness and a new food culture was being born of artisanal food and local food and old ways, traditional foods. And there became a new constituency for the market, even though it was in bad repair. Then when a new convention center threatened to close the market down, that constituency went to bat. And our newspaper was a part of that crusade. And so the market not only eventually got repaired, and its infrastructure got upgraded, but people came and flocked to the place, and nowadays it's got over something like 6 million visitors a year and is the top attraction in the city, beating out the Liberty Bell, you know. And a lot of those visitors, to be perfectly true, are repeat customers who shop here.
Rick Nichols is among those repeat customers. And as we walk up and down the aisles of this Philly institution, I quickly learn that his is as much a familiar face as some of the market's older sellers. So showing me the best the terminal had to offer was an easy task for him.
I find the market still a place that's alive and it's a buzz. I always run into someone I know here. I know the purveyors by name. They point out new cheeses or, you know, new sandwiches or new slabs of bacon or new sources of maple syrup or what have you. And one of the things that is somewhat unique here is that most of the business, almost all the businesses, are family or independently owned. So they have skin in the game. This is the Pennsylvania General Store. They have some fabulous maple syrup. I don't see my friends sell to them. And here are the cheeses. These are local, truly local cheeses. The best local cheese is one called St. Malachi Special Reserve. It just won a gold medal in Spain. It's from Doe Run Dairy in Coatesville. There's some lovely young people, Sam and Sarah Kennedy, who are the actual cheesemakers out there with their own herd of cattle. One of my favorite things is Cope's corn. This is corn that's sweet. It's dried sweet corn. It's toasted until all the moisture is out. So you can keep it for a couple of years. It's actually an old Indian recipe for preserving the harvest over the winter. And so you can make all sorts of things with it. You can just have it stewed, rehydrated and stewed. A lot of people get this for Thanksgiving time. Or I've brought sort of famous chefs here, like Thomas Keller or the late Michel Richard. And they buy this, and then they've powdered it, and then they made flan out of it. Another chef from New York made a ravioli stuffed with sort of a sweet corn porridge that he put in. Anyway, this is probably one of the few places you can get this anymore. Okay, this guy's he's a Pennsylvania Dutch fellow. Yo, Benuel, it's time for you to be famous. And you notice he's wearing the traditional straw hat and suspenders. This is Kaufman's Lancaster County Farm Fresh, and they also have a lot of jellies and relishes and pickles and so forth.
Before we parted ways, he wanted to show me one more place, the Amish food store where he had breakfast before meeting me, a place, he said, that truly represented Philadelphia.
That's the Dutch eating place, and they have, you know, these fabulous, like, farm breakfasts that really you should be working about 18 hours a day out in the fields to burn off. But every once in a while, I can't resist them. They've, you know, fried home-fried potatoes and scrapple and eggs over easy and big plates of blueberry pancakes. It's a total comfort food place, and that's where you'll see, you know, female police officers and jurors and little old grandmas from North Philadelphia sitting side by side in a peaceable kingdom. And it's just the kind of thing you rarely see, that kind of mix of people, democratic mix of people, anywhere else in the city.
This has been episode number 57 of Food Neighborhoods. Rick Nichols was showing Monocle's Naomi Joseph around Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Marcus Hippi. Thank you for listening and bye for now.